Questions not properly answered don't go away. Like, why would a loving God throw good people into hell just because they're not Christians? Join us for the three eternal destinies of man.
Okay, so far we started talking about Revelation chapter 21. So there we saw there's God's people, the bride, and then there's other people, which we discovered those are those who live their lives to do the right thing. However, those people, when they die, have to go to death for the sins that they did commit.
Yeah.
But then we saw there's a way out of death.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw in John 8:51, that the Son of God said, "Truly I say to you, those who keep my word shall never see death." So this is a corporate body of people that devoted their entire lives to doing what he said. Yeah. They're his disciples. They're devoted. And the way that that group of people is expressed is just like a human body, where many parts are interconnected.
Yeah, and even if you back up a tiny bit, we were asking the question, if we have these two categories of people in eternity, and one of them are good people who lived by the knowledge of good and evil, they did the best they could, and then you have these people who actually inhabit the spirit, they are actually dwelling places of God in the spirit. Those people have to be able to identify, you know, in order to wipe away their tears, they have to be able to actually have gone through some struggles themselves, and they have to have gone through some suffering themselves. So what is that suffering? And we read in Ephesians 4:13, that it says that they will have grown up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Messiah. And that seemed like a pretty mind-blowing idea, that you would grow to that extent where, you know, and it doesn't even seem feasible. It's historically has not happened. But then we read right after that in verse 15, how that would happen. By speaking the truth in love, we will all, so there's a corporate all, you know, that speak the truth in love to one another, in that we will all grow up into the fullness of him. And so that showed the need for that body you were talking about. There's a need for a coming together into a body where we can communicate like the human body, and we're integrally connected like the human
body.
That's
right. A radical coming together, which is, yeah. What we saw was the response to the gospel that the apostles had preached.
Yeah.
It says that thousands of people came together and shared everything and even sold all that they had to share with one another.
Yeah.
So that formed, that was the beginnings in the first century of the bride. But something must have happened to that bride, because
it's not happening now.
Exactly. You
know, and so now I want to go back to the beginning when we started, we opened up, because the real purpose of the beginning of our discussion was to talk about eternity and what is God's purpose for eternity. And we started out with that metaphor in Revelation 21:1, the iconic, mysterious metaphor.
The new heavens
and the new earth. And what does that mean? New heavens and a new earth. And so Ephesians 4:10. Okay, it says, he who descended, which means go down, you know, he went down, also ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. Now, we know who went up, you know, who ascended. That was the Savior. He went,
Yahshua,
and he sat at the right hand of the Father. And but it also speaks of him descending. He's the one who went down to the heart of the earth. To pay for our sins, but he ascended far above the heavens. And it says, it speaks of prophecy. It's very subtle. You could really miss it, but it says that he might, so that's speaking of the future, that he might fill all things. So what does that mean? So
all
he went,
things.
Yeah, all things. And so he ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. So that's talking about the universe, the planets. He went above the planets and the universe, but his intention for the universe was that they would be filled. You know, and if you get a telescope right now and zoom in to some of those planets.
The heavens.
Yeah. You would find, well, I mean, if you looked at it with the naked eye, you might think it's pretty full. You know, you see a lot of stars and some blinking and some stuff going on. I mean, the beautiful fullness of the magnitude of creation. But then you get the telescope out and zoom into one of those planets, and what you find is they're empty. They're lifeless. And so what does it mean that he's going to fill them? Obviously, he's not filling the universe with stars and planets because they're already out there. Mm-hmm. But they have to be filled with something.
With his spirit.
Yeah. Our Father is a God who never created anything with no purpose. He doesn't create things with no purpose. Mm-hmm. He had a purpose in mind for everything he ever created. And certainly the universe would need to be included in that. The universe was created with a purpose. And so that's the purpose, that it would be filled. And that's the nature of our Father, is that life would be perpetuated forever and ever and ever. And so far we know that we have two groups of people that are be living on into eternity. We have the holy, and we have those people who are with them mm-hmm. in eternity. But now, if you read in Psalms 102:28, it parallels this verse and gives a little more to it. And it's amazing that this was written all the way back in the Psalms.
It says, "The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you."
Okay, so there's going to be people continuing, perpetuating for eternity. But then verse 25 and 26, can you read that?
It says, "Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure, and all of them will wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be changed."
Yeah, so you get this picture in eternity. The heavens, it's talking about the heavens, they're going to perish in a certain sense. The what you see out there is going to be new. You know, it's all going to be new, but it's not going to be new in the sense that it's all going to vanish or evaporate, and then there's going to be a new thing put out there. It's going to have the form that it has, like God created it to be the way it is, but it's going to have life. And so you could use the word renewed. You know, it says they will be changed like a garment. And so what is the purpose of making it new? Well, our Father's going to have all these people reproducing. If you read Ephesians 3:21, it kind of leads into this picture.
Ephesians 3:21 says, "To him be the glory in the church and in Yahshua to all generations forever and ever."
So this word generations, forever and ever, I mean, that's not a picture that many people are used to. They think of there's going to be the lost and there's going to be the saved in eternity, but there's going to be offspring reproducing forever and ever and ever. And so there's going to be no end to the perpetuating of life. And so you wouldn't be able to fit them all on one planet in the heavens. You know,
you've got trillions and trillions of generations. We don't even have a number. There is no number.
Infinity.
Exactly. For how many people are going to be born.
And they're not going to fit on one planet or one solar system or one galaxy. So the reason why they have to be made new is because they're going to have to be inhabited. They're going to have people that won't have any more. There won't be dying anymore. There won't be any more death. And so you can't put them on dying planets or planets that can't sustain human life. You've got to put them on planets where there's going to be growth and there's going to be food grown out of the ground and there's going to be life that's going to grow forever and ever. And so this gives you a very sustainable, substantive view of what's going to be, what eternity is going to be looking like, mm-hmm. you know.
We hope you're enjoying our conversation as we explore through the pages of the Bible, the three eternal destinies of man.